Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for the way that you always come through for us in our daily lives, that you provide us with spiritual food, spiritual nourishment from your word every day. Greetings, saints. Our reading is 2 Corinthians 7, verse 13 to 16, Amplified. It is for this reason that we are comforted and encouraged. And in addition to our comfort, we were especially delighted at the joy of Titus, because you have refreshed his spirit. For if I have boasted to him at all concerning you, I was not disappointed. But just as everything we ever said to you was true, so our boasting about you to Titus has proved true also. His affection is greater than ever, as he remembers the obedience to his guidance that all of you exhibited, and how you received him with the greatest respect. I rejoice that in everything I have perfect confidence in you. When it says for this reason, we need to go back a verse or two. To verse 11. For you can look back and see what an earnestness and authentic concern this godly sorrow has produced in you, what vindication of yourselves against charges that you tolerate sin, what indignation at sin, what fear of offending God, what longing for righteousness and justice, what passion to do what is right, what readiness to punish those who sin and those who tolerate sin. At every point you have proved yourselves to be innocent in the matter. This is referring to an incident mentioned in 1 Corinthians, where people professing to be born-again believers were living in sin. And if you go back another verse to verse 10, it says, For godly sorrow that is in accord with the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But worldly sorrow, the hopeless sorrow of those who do not believe, produces death. So sometimes a criminal that gets caught expresses remorse. But that remorse is sometimes remorse at being caught, not a desire to repent of the wrong that they have done. Our scripture today speaks a lot about encouragement. The boasting is simply talking about the good character of somebody and the faithfulness of somebody. It's not got anything to do with pride. And encouragement is something that I seem to be fairly good at. There's also a lot of encouragement in the Bible, Nehemiah 8 verse 10. In KJV. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. It seems in Nehemiah chapters 8 and 9 that after rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, there seems to be a widespread revival, and the word repentance comes through as a overriding thing that people were doing. I'd like to focus on joy. Our reading does mention rejoicing and joy, and we read about joy in Hebrews 12 verse 2 in KJV. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So you can see that joy can help us to get through difficult circumstances. And dying on the cross and being separated from our Heavenly Father was really very difficult circumstances for Jesus. And it was that joy, the prospect of you and me loving him back, it was that joy that gave him the strength to go through with it. So I want to focus a little bit on joy. It's mentioned in Isaiah 12 verse 3. Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And so once we are born again, once we have responded to the love of God, we can experience that joy. It's also mentioned in first part of Habakkuk 3 verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high hills. Now, if you look at a documentary on the mountain goats and those deer and the animals that live in those rocky places, they can jump around and get around those very steep cliffs and hills and rocky outcrops. It seems with ease, and this is what our God enables us to do. We can negotiate obstacles and hurdles and things in life that might cause others to stumble. We can navigate them with ease because He makes our feet like deer's feet, like the feet of mountain goats. They can hop, skip, and jump around the hills and the rocks. Another mention of rejoicing is in Psalm 118, verse 14 to 15. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. And so we can see rejoicing and salvation goes together. And it's in the tent of the righteous. Who's the righteous? That is every blood-bought saint. That's every child of God. That's every human being on this planet who has responded to God's love and who has accepted that free ticket to heaven, the free gift of salvation, which is our right to approach boldly the throne room of God, simply because the blood of Jesus has washed us clean and we have swapped our sin for his righteousness. He was made sin that we could become his righteousness. And while we're talking about joy giving us the courage to face difficult circumstances, let's talk a bit more about courage. In Joshua 1 verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." The phrase, "be strong and of good courage," is seen in the first chapter of Joshua three times, in verses 6, 9, and 18. So it looks like God was trying to encourage this young man who has now had to take over leadership from Moses, who had been leading the Israelites for years, and Moses had to appoint other leaders to deal with the everyday matters so that he didn't tie himself out. That is in the Old Testament. I'm not going to look up that scripture now. But it's not a job that God expected one man to do by himself. Moses had helpers, and the leaders and elders of Israel come from those who were chosen to help with the everyday judicial questions and running of the people of Israel. So this young man Joshua has now got to take over this leadership role, and that's where God tells him, "Be strong and of good courage," three times in Joshua chapter 1. In fact, there's more encouragement in that chapter, Joshua 1 verse 5, TPT. "Joshua, no one will be able to defeat you for the rest of your life. I will be with you as I was with Moses, and I will never fail nor abandon you." So there, as part of the encouragement, God tells Joshua that he will make it. He will be able to do what God expects him to do. And God gives us the grace to do what he expects us to do as well. Remember, he has given to each man a measure of faith. And some of us use that faith to respond to his love. And those that do respond to him become his children. That's John 1:12. More encouragement is in John 16, verse 1 to 3, TPT. Jesus himself said these words, "I have told you this, so that you would not surrender to confusion or doubt. For you will be excommunicated from the synagogues, and a time is coming when you will be put to death by misguided ones who will presume to be doing God a great service by putting you to death. And they will do these things because they don't know anything about the Father or me." A case in point was Saul of Tarsus. He was voting against Stephen, who was the first martyr for the kingdom. And he thought he was doing God a favor. He thought he was doing the right thing. And our final word of encouragement also comes from Jesus himself in John 16, verse 31 to 33, TPT. Jesus replied, "Now you finally believe in me, and the time has come when you will all be scattered, and each one of you will go your own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am never alone, for the Father is always with me. And everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you the great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows. But you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world." Does that sound familiar? Fairly. In Joshua 1, the phrase was, "Be strong and of good courage." Here Jesus says something similar. "Be courageous, for I have conquered the world." In other words, he's already won the victory. We don't have to still go out there and win. We simply have to stay close to him, stay focused on him, and allow him to live his victory through our lives. We just have those cleaning up operations to do where the enemy is a bad loser, and that's why the enemy wants to take as many souls with him to hell as possible. That is why we have warfare. That is why we still carry on fighting the good fight and living the life of the faithful servant as Jesus did. That is why we continue to shine our lights.